and welcome to a Dobby's podcast about real Christmas trees. I'm Louise Midgley, garden writer of the Sunday Express, and I'm delighted to welcome back Marcus Isles, horticultural director for Dobby's, an expert in real Christmas trees and wreaths. Hello, Marcus.
Hi, Louise. It's great to be back, and especially to talk about my favourite topic, which is Christmas trees.
Ooh, mine too. I think choosing a Christmas tree and putting it up is such a memorable experience, and it marks the start of the festive season. But deciding on a real or artificial tree can be a little daunting. So Marcus is going to talk us through some of the reasons to select a real tree and how to care for it so it lasts all Christmas. So here we go, Marcus, with the big question: real or artificial?
Well, for me, it's always got to be a real tree, of course. It really brings that tradition of Christmas. So it's always a real tree.
Yes, for me too. Although I've now got more than one tree. So we have a real tree, and then we have a little artificial tree with LED lights in a separate room, in fact, in the kitchen. And then I make a third one, a homemade one out of contorted hazel, which probably every second year I'll do this. I'll prune it and then put the long spirally bits into a big vase and hang different decorations on that. You know, if I'm feeling extra festive, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, I think we have found that quite a lot of customers are putting trees into different rooms. People have got a snug or something where they want a tree. They've got a living area as well. Kids are quite often wanting their own little tree to have in their room. So there are lots of different places where you can put a Christmas tree.
But essentially, what are the main benefits of having a real Christmas tree?
It really brings that nature inside. And I think especially at the moment when people are really wanting to embrace nature, that actually to be able to bring a living natural foliage and the tree inside the home gives you that whole beautiful feeling. It's quite often fragrance with the foliage as well. It gives you a lot of different opportunities to use the decorations that you've collected year after year and all stashed up in the loft. And of course, lots of different styles and colors of trees as well. So therefore, you can select one that you can really express yourselves or to get the kids involved decorating the tree. Really good experience.
And would there be one variety that's more scented? Because I think the scent is so important, more scented than the others.
They all have some scent. The most common tree we sell, because it retains its needles better than a lot of other trees, is called Nordman Fir. It's not the strongest of foliage fragrances, but it does have a natural tree fragrance to it. So I would suggest, because of its needle retention, that is the best one. You can include other foliage, of course, around your tree, which you can use for decorating on mantelpieces or on wreaths, things like that. So there are more scented foliages like noble fir, which is more heavily scented, and even the traditional Norway spruce as well, that has a nice fragrance to it. So certainly going to give you that natural fragrance into your home over the Christmas period.
Never thought of doing that. I've always thought of putting ivy in different things, you know, draping them around the mantelpiece, but I never thought of putting more scent through the pieces of foliage. And what about pot-grown trees, Marcus?
Yeah, pot-grown trees really have increased in popularity over the last few years. Word of warning here, there are a lot of retailers out there that sell potted trees. So trees that have been grown in a field and then dug up, almost all of their roots removed, and then they're planted into really rough soil or even sand in some cases. Those are never going to survive. So there isn't really any benefit from having that tree. They can be quite cheap, but there is no benefit to them. We only sell pot-grown trees. We don't sell potted trees because we think that customers will expect it to be able to survive. These have been grown in their containers. Quite often, they've been submersed into a field so that they're in a natural environment where they will grow more successfully. But then they're pulled out of the ground and cleaned up and put into a nice container, a pot cover, so that you can actually display them in your home. And the benefit, of course, is if you look after it, you've got it year after year. So either to continue to increase the size of the container each year and pot it on into a larger pot where it will grow successfully, or else you can plant it into the garden and then use it as a feature within your garden. Just remembering, of course, these are going to grow into large trees, so you'd have to keep them trimmed. Or if you've got a very large garden, then of course you can put it to the back of the border and let it grow up from there.
Actually, I didn't realize there was a difference between potted trees and pot-grown trees. So I must have bought a pot-grown tree about 5 years ago and we put it in the garden. And actually, it's very slow growing, which is fantastic. Yes, we will have to prune it if it gets too big. But so far, it's very healthy and very slow growing. And we've covered it in LED lights, which are solar powered. So at nighttime, they just sparkle, you know, throughout the whole of the summer. So that was a really good investment.
The trend for decorating your garden is increasing every year. We're selling more and more outdoor lights. So putting a pot-grown tree into your garden. They'll grow about a foot or so, 18 inches a year, depending on the variety. And you can make a really nice feature, which every year, again, you can, as you say, put the lights out there and even some wooden decorations and things that you can hang on the tree. Make a real focus in the garden as you're entering into your home.
Weatherproof wooden ones would be a really good idea. And how do you go about sourcing the right trees for Dobby's customers?
So we source our trees from Scotland. A lot of retailers will buy from a lot of different countries, but we prefer to buy from Scotland. We find that the quality of the trees are very good, and we actually travel up every year, walk the fields, and we select out the grades of trees that we're looking for our customers. So we have premium trees, which we take the best possible trees because we do want to make sure that we have that super wonderful all year, all round shape that customers can rely on. We also have slightly more open trees as well, because a lot of people don't want them too bushy. They like to have that more Scandinavian style in their decoration of the tree. And we're finding that's become very popular for larger decorations. If you want to put more lights on there, if you've got kids and they really want to lay their decorations on, then those trees are really good for children to be able to decorate.
You need to walk around those grounds with a nice glass of mulled wine and a mince pie.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And Marcus, as regards the sustainability of the trees, I expect they have a system where they replant after they've all been cut down?
Yeah, it's a crop like any other, really. The foresters that are producing the trees, they are farmers of trees, of course. Therefore, it has to be sustainable because they want crops that are growing on year after year. You've got 8 to 10 years growing cycle to be able to produce the trees that you're having in your home. So every year there are seedlings grown, they're planted out, and we're having to do sort of forecasts of the growth in our business each year so that the fields can be planted out with enough trees to make sure we've got the right quality and the right quantities for each year going forward.
So of course that makes pot grown trees very sustainable, doesn't it?
Yes, our pot-grown trees are guaranteed. So as long as you look after them, then they will grow each year. And that is a very sustainable way of being able to have a beautiful tree in your garden or in your home over Christmas.
And keep them well watered in summer, because I think that's sometimes a mistake people make. They forget about them, and because they're not a flowering plant as such, but they do need plenty of water when it's very, very hot.
Yes, it's important to have them in the right size container with fresh compost. So potting them on each year. And then, as you say, making sure that they're kept well watered, because they don't really show their stress until it's too late, until you start seeing needle drop. So keeping them well watered over the summer months will give you this nice fresh flush of foliage, which is then, you know, great to have to decorate at Christmas.
And Marcus, as regards the care of the tree, could you also give us some advice on the best way to transport a newly acquired tree home and what we should do to ensure the tree lasts for the duration of the festive period?
The trees, of course, they're quite large. You know, we've got from the smaller potted trees, a few feet, but of course we go right the way up into 8 and 9 foot cut trees. So you've got to keep that in mind when you're going to the garden center to make sure that you have got a suitable size vehicle if you want to take it home straight away. We do net the cut trees. We have a netting machine whereby we can put the tree through that for you. That pulls all the branches in. So it's a lot easier to be able to load it in the car, or if you've got a roof rack. I would urge people, as soon as the trees arrive and the pot-grown trees arrive towards the third week of October, then the cut trees start to arrive second and third week of November, and then we'll have fresh trees coming right the way through into December. Just keep in mind that if you want the best selection, then don't leave it too long. They're highly in demand and the best trees can go very quickly. And if you do want to buy your tree, then don't try and bring it into the house too quickly. Just because you have it and you've got it secure at home, don't be too panicky about bringing it inside. It can go outside, of course. It can even go in the rain. We'll have lots of trees which will be outside in the rain in the garden centres, because that keeps them nice and moist and stops them from losing moisture. So they'll last for longer. Then getting it ready, of course, if it's been outside and it's been in the rain, you want to put it somewhere that it's going to dry off, because there's nothing wetter than a wet Christmas tree. Then on a cut tree, removing a couple of inches at the base of the tree and putting the tree immediately into a water retaining Christmas tree stand. If you think about it, it's just like a giant cut flower. It will take up that water, so you'll get even less needles dropping. And then you just check it every couple of days, make sure there's still water, because you'd be surprised how much the tree will actually use. So taking off a couple of inches immediately into a water retaining stand and then into position. The position of the tree is absolutely key. Sometimes you look at your fire or a focal point within the room and you think, oh, a tree would look fantastic there. But if it's really close to a fire or really close to a radiator that you need to heat the room, the tree is going to really hate it. And there's been nothing worse than looking at a struggling tree, as you say. So putting the tree into the coolest part of the room will really keep it looking fresher for longer. So those are the key things. If you've got a pot grown tree, exactly the same thing. Put it in the coolest part of the room because it's got roots, then making sure that you're watering it every couple of days. It doesn't want to be overwatered, but just keeping the soil moist so that it can pull up that water and keep it fresh.
So what you're saying is if you do buy your tree early and you're going to keep it outside, you don't necessarily have to put it into a bucket of water. It can just lie on the ground.
No, it's fine. It just needs to be out in the cooler weather. Don't stick it in a garage or something like that. Even though it's cool, it'd be better if it's just outside. You've just got to dry it off just before you bring it in to decorate it.
So it needs to drink the water when it gets into a centrally heated house and the temperature goes up. And once Christmas is over, what's the best way to dispose of the Christmas tree responsibly?
Most local councils now do have a facility for disposing of the tree. I would suggest look on your local council website, check up on what recycling or collection is for your particular area, but also don't necessarily send it away. I trim the tree up into smaller pieces and I use it for mulching around underneath hedges, put it into the compost heap. The last few bits of the actual main trunk, I cut them up and then I put them onto my log store to dry out ready in 8-9 months' time. They'll be ready for burning on the fire. So it would create a fantastic environment for wildlife as well. If you can cut the branches and lay them on the soil over a period of time, rot down and add organic matter to your soil.
That's a brilliant idea. And Dobby's just must be the most magical place to work at Christmas time. What do you enjoy most about that?
I've worked in garden centres for many years now and sort of take it for granted that at this time of year, we're transitioning into the whole Christmas period. And garden centres generally, especially at Dobby's, we've become this whole world of Christmas. So it's really interesting to see the ranges of stock build up each week. We do a lot of items for gifting, as well as all of the decorations, pot grown trees coming in during October, cut Christmas trees coming in November, holly wreaths, foliage wreaths coming in as we go through into December. So there's a whole transition of different products. So there's great reasons to be visiting a store at this time of year as you see the Christmas ranges build. And I just love walking around. Fantastic scents. You've got all the restaurants, of course, where you've got freshly baked mince pies, all the noises. It's great to see children visiting the store as well because their eyes go so, so wide when they see the Christmas display. A whole store becomes a complete Christmas celebration. And I think this year with people's more and more engagement in plants and gardening, plants and gardening items are going to be top of everybody's Christmas lists this year. So it's not just about buying your normal Christmas plants, so poinsettias and cyclamen and things like that, and your Christmas tree, but also people looking for big foliage plants or new shrubs to go in the garden, etc. I think those sort of things are going to be really sought out as more meaningful gifts for people during a time when people are really embracing their garden, even buying collections of vegetable seeds and things like that, giving people things that they can grow on and extra bits of kit as well to actually go into their garden shed to help them with their projects ready for next spring.
So Marcus, while the Christmas tree is obviously the main focal point of the Christmas decorations, it's lovely to have some other festive foliage in different parts of the house, a wreath on the front door, and maybe some mistletoe. What other foliage would you recommend to decorate the house?
The range of foliage that you can bring in over the winter months, firstly from your garden. So best place to look if you're growing holly, if you've got some nice colourful stems, etc. There's a whole gallery of plants that you can use to bring that sort of nature indoors over the winter months. So firstly, look there. But also, we do sell in stores a fantastic range of different foliages. So we have the mistletoe, we have bunches of noble fir. So those are great for making up different decorations, table centers, etc. Mistletoe, of course, you can hang. Then the range of wreaths that we sell, we have decorated and undecorated wreaths. Decorated wreaths, if you're not very handy yourself, so you can just take them home and put them onto your front door or wherever you want to display them. But we also have a fantastic range of undecorated wreaths. Then you can select from all the ranges of different decorations that we sell in store or from your big stocks that you have in your loft. You can also use cinnamon sticks. You can use little dried segments of oranges, things like that. There's a whole array of different decorations that you can do. We've got a little small size this year as well, which is great for children. So treat it as a nice little weekend project where all the family can gather together, make up their different wreaths, perhaps one to go on the children's bedroom, one to go on the front door, one on the back door, something to go on the mantelpiece, something as a table center. It does add a whole different feel to your Christmas decoration over the festive period.
That's a great idea to have a wreath as a table center if you're adding to one that you've bought. And then you just have to put a little container in the middle to put a candle in the center for the Christmas table.
Yeah, and you can really go to town, depending if you're into color themes and things, then you can match up the color theme on your tree into your other foliage decorations that you've got around the home. Children, of course, will want to decorate it with maybe slightly more colorful decorations. Then, you know, that's great. You can tell them to take that up into their room and they can have that in their room.
Well, thanks for joining us again, Marcus. I can't wait to put my Christmas tree up now. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Louise. It's been great talking to you, and may you have a very happy Christmas too.
And thank you to everybody for listening today. You can find more advice on Christmas decorating and Christmas trees at dobbies.com, as well as all our other podcasts. Do stay tuned for the next Dobbies podcast, which is on its way shortly.